Happy Resurrection Day.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's good to see all of you here today. I just want to take a moment and welcome everyone. I know some of you, maybe first time visiting with us, just housekeeping, restrooms out any door, and you'll find them, okay? We want to just say that we're glad you're here. We don't think it's by accident that you are here this morning, so we are glad you're here. If you're here and you're a Christian, feel free just to worship through the whole service. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. We don't think it's an accident that you're here either. And we just want to invite you to listen and just be challenged by what is sung today and what is presented from God's Word today. And of course, we're inviting you and encouraging you to believe and trust Jesus. A couple other housekeeping things for this morning. One, no Kids Rock today. And so if you got children with you, we are super excited that you have children with you. Let them rustle around in the pews. It's not a problem. We're glad they're here and we're glad they're making noise. So we want them to be here. Most of the service today is song and just reading of scripture. So it's just keeping it really simple today, okay? So we want them to be in here and be a part of it. So that's there for you. If you need to take them out, go to the restroom at any point, don't feel bad about it. Just take them. It's fine. And come right back in. Everybody good with that? Yeah. All right. So here's the deal about today's service. We will be singing. We will have a baptism. We'll be singing some more. We'll be singing a little bit more. Then we're going to read a lot of scripture about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then we're going to sing some more. Okay? And everything that's said today, everything that's done today, the baptism, the singing, the scripture reading, is all going to be about the death and resurrection of Jesus. So again, if you're here and you're not sure what this is all about, just listen. You'll figure it out, okay? And I want to start our time off together. But since everything is about the gospel day, I just want to kind of summarize the gospel for us at the very beginning of our service today. Can we do that? All right. So here's the deal. If you want to watch the screen, you can. If you just want to listen, you can. In the beginning of the Bible, God tells us that He designed and created the whole world with a particular purpose, to reflect His glory and bring Him glory. And He designed the human race. And He designed us to have a perfect relationship with Him, a perfect relationship with one another. And I want you to think about that for a moment. The way that God made us, He made us to live in a perfect relationship with Him, reflecting who He is, and live in a perfect relationship with one another. Now, wouldn't the world be a much better place if that was our current reality? Yeah? Not only that, but we'd have a perfect relationship with creation, with our world. So there would be no guilt. There would be no shame. There would be no false motives. There would be no jealousy, no anger, no frustration. Amen? No broken relationships, no broken promises, no broken families. No broken hearts. No sickness. No pain. No tragedies. No disasters. And no death. That's the way He designed it. It's His good and perfect design for us to live in a perfect relationship with Him. Perfect relationship with one another. Perfect relationship with His world that He created. But you and I both know that's not our current reality, right? We all know that that's not the world we live in. We live in a broken world. And the question is, why is it broken? The Bible tells us that it's broken because of sin. And that word sin that we hear in church all the time, and we see in God's word over and over simply means to miss the mark. So we have God's design, perfect relationship with him, perfect relationship with one another. That's the design, and sin means that we miss the mark. Because of sin, our world is broken. We are broken. We can look at history and see that the world is broken, right? Tragedy after tragedy. Broken families, broken nations, broken individuals. We can look at our own individual history. If we're honest about our own lives and our own hearts, we know that our own hearts are broken. Even when we don't want to make some of the decisions we make, we still make them. We repeat the same mistakes over and over again in our lives. We can look at our families. We can look at the current state of the world. And we can see that the world is broken. Do you see that in today's world? We see it, don't we? It's not hard to see. Romans 3:23 tells us why. It tells us, for all have sinned, missed the mark, and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us the result of us missing the mark. It says, for the wages of sin, what we earn with our missing of the mark, is death. So because sin entered the world and broke the world, everything that comes with death comes with sin. So all the things that lead up to death, guilt, shame, broken relationships, broken promises, broken hearts, broken bodies, suffering, hurt, pain, and yes, death, come into our world and stay in our world because of sin. And we see those things today in our own lives and in our world today too, don't we? And some people know that, they recognize that, and they look at our world and they say, look, I get one life to live in this world, so I'm going to live it to the fullest. A few years back, the term for that was YOLO. You only live once. If I'm not mistaken, teenagers, that's dead and gone, right? I can still use it today, though. So some people just say, the world's broken, I only get one life, I'm going to live it to the fullest, I'm going to enjoy it, seek pleasure, and do what I want when I want. So they ignore the problem. Others look at the world, and they know they have problems, they know the world's got problems, they know they can't fix it, so they just try to numb it out. And so they numb it out with some people with alcohol or drugs or hobbies or entertainment, any list, anything that they can numb out the pain of the brokenness of themselves in this world with. And so they just try to numb it out. Still others try to fix it themselves. So they try to fix their own brokenness, and they fail and fail and fail and remain broken. Because here's the thing. We can't fix our own brokenness. We can't fix each other's brokenness. We need someone else to fix it. And that's where Jesus comes in. The Bible tells us that God sent his only son, Jesus, into this world, and he lived a perfect life. Another way to put that is he did not sin. Another way to put that is he hit the mark perfectly every day of his life. So he didn't deserve death like we do. But the Bible goes on to tell us that God's son, who did not sin and did not deserve death, indeed died on the cross. And he died on the cross for a very specific reason. He died on the cross in our place. Remember what we said a moment ago? We deserve death. Jesus didn't, but Jesus became our substitute. He died on the cross in our place. Though he never sinned, and though we had, he took our sin upon himself, and he died in our place so we did not have to. Now, if we stop there, there'd be no one to trust. It'd be a nice story, but in reality, if we looked at it, we go, really, like, Jesus died just like everybody else. But what the Bible tells us is that 3 days later, he walked out of the grave and he conquered death. And he conquered sin. And he conquered shame and guilt and everything else that comes into this world with sin and death. He conquered it. And with that, he offered a solution to our problem. The only one. I can't fix it. You can't fix it. No one else can. But Jesus came into our world and died in the place of sinners. And the question is, how do we get from brokenness to Jesus? And this is the question of today. How do I get from brokenness to Jesus? Do I fix my own life? Do I clean myself up? Do I obey all the rules so that I can come to Jesus and he'll take me in? And the answer is no. The Bible tells us over and over again, we turn from living life our own way. We believe all that Jesus has done and all he says that he is. And we come to him empty-handed. And we say, Jesus, I can't fix it. I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm missing the mark. I'll keep missing the mark. I need you. I need your life and your death and your resurrection. I need you to save me. And you know what he'll do? He'll save us. And many of us in this room have experienced that. We know Jesus, and we know that we're broken, but we know there's a day coming when we won't be anymore. We know we would die without Jesus, but we know because we've surrendered to Jesus, we have eternal life, not death awaiting us. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, that's what we're inviting you to. We're not inviting you to clean up your life. We're inviting you to Jesus. We're not inviting you to do a bunch of work to earn salvation. We're inviting you to Jesus, who's done all the work for your salvation. We're inviting you simply to turn from your sin and trust him. And from that day forward, follow him back towards his original design for our lives. Isn't that good? That's the gospel. That's what we're singing about today. And here's the deal. We're going to sing about it. We're going to read it in a moment. We're going to see an illustration of it in baptism. And here's the deal. If you're a Christian here today, just worship. If you're not today, we want you to listen. And at the end of the service today, you're going to have an opportunity to respond. Myself, Pastor Robbie, will be up here. If you're ready to make your decision to follow Jesus in your life today public, you can do it today. If you've already decided to follow Jesus, but you haven't made that public, you haven't made it known yet to the world that you have trusted Jesus, you'll have an opportunity to do that today. So that's where we're going. We're going to sing, we're going to read, we're going to pray, we're going to sing some more, and I want you to listen and I want you to worship. Can we do that today? All right. Dustin.
Good morning again. Happy Easter to everyone. We are so glad you're here with us today. I want to invite you to stand as we sing an old faithful song of the church, the Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away, I love. seated.
There we go. All right. Many of you know her. This is Lydia Gaines. So Lydia was supposed to be baptized the first Sunday of our 2 weeks of COVID. And obviously that didn't happen. So here we are on Easter Sunday 2021 baptizing Lydia. So here's what that means. Lydia came to faith over a year ago and had been talking to her mom and dad about trusting Jesus and talked with me about it. And so today what she's doing is showing the world, us in this room and anybody else that hears about it, that she is trusting Jesus through baptism. So Lydia, who have you trusted for the forgiveness of your sin and your salvation? Jesus. If you didn't hear her, she said Jesus. Amen. Lydia, I want to pray for you, okay? Jesus, we love you. And Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of new life. We thank you for your death and resurrection and that we can place faith in you and that you will give us new life. And Lord, we thank you for the sign of that new life in baptism. And we thank you that we get to celebrate that sign today in the life of Lydia, that she's already trusted you for the forgiveness of her sins. And today she's coming before us to tell the world that she's trusted you through baptism. So, Lord, we pray for the days of her life ahead. And we pray that her heart would grow and grow and grow in her love for you and her trust in you. We pray that her life would be lived for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Lydia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go, Grandma. Amen.
That's wonderful, amen.
The gospel is so simple that even students, even babes, can understand it. It doesn't make it complicated. So if you're here today and you're wondering, what's the gospel all about? It's just so simple. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he reigns today. He did it all for us, amen. We're all a little nervous this morning. Bear with us. It's been a joy to sing with these men today.
Precious Lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew I feel him resurrected. inside, you know he's living, and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. A nail-scarred hand reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? Just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know.
I gotta catch my breath. If you know he's living, say amen.
Amen.
Man, it is such a wonderful feeling of the knowledge that he is living. And he's preparing a place for us, amen. And one day he's gonna call us home. But if you don't know him, I beg you and I please you and I pray the Holy Spirit will move through this place today, that you will release that pew when the invitation is given and you'll come running into his arms and let today be the day of salvation. What an Easter that will be, amen.
Do. is all creation groaning. It is a new creation coming. It is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. It is it good that we remind ourselves of it? It is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And is Jesus our Messiah? Hold forever those he loves. He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, every nation and tongue. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this?
If you'd like to follow along in your copy of God's Word, I'll be reading from Mark 15, and then in a moment from John 20. If you would like to just sit and listen and soak in the Scripture, you can do that as well. Mark 15, chapter 1. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him released for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put on his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priest with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he can't save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." They were also with him. Women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and, taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in the tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus lived and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
John chapter 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the tomb had been taken away, the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to him, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's stand.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Then on the third, break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Sing with all you got.
Sins in your place. He rose from the dead. He's alive. You can trust him today. If you haven't, we invite you to come and trust him today. Don't bring anything with you, not your good deeds, not your righteousness, nothing. Just come to Jesus. He's done it all. This is our time of invitation. If you want to pray, you can pray. If you want to sing, you can sing. If you want to make your decision to follow Jesus public, you can do that. If you want to come forward to myself or Pastor Robbie to give your life to Jesus, you can do that. Now's the time. Let's sing. And he's good, isn't he? Yeah. Hey, listen, we are here for you. If you're wrestling with who Jesus is and this hasn't made it clear for you and you still have questions, I want to make very clear, like, Jesus isn't going to stop working on your heart just because you leave this time and this place, okay? So we're here. We're available to you. Reach out to myself, Pastor Robbie, or somebody else that you know is a Christian and just say, show me in the Bible how to trust and follow Jesus. And we can do that, okay? Love you guys. So glad you're here. You're welcome back anytime we're gathering here. This week, our kids and our youth are not meeting on Wednesday night, but our adults are. We're going to have Bible study in here at 6:30. And then we'll be back on our regular schedule starting next Sunday. So if you don't have a church home, plan on being back with us, okay? All right, last time. If you have questions about following Jesus, you need somebody to pray for you, pray with you. You got prayer concerns, we're here for you. You got it? All right. Pastor Robbie, would you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we could come into your house today and celebrate your resurrection. Father, because we know the resurrection is what our hope is built on. We know the scripture teaches us without the resurrection, there's no hope, there's no salvation. And we thank you, Father, that the grave couldn't hold you, death did not bury you. We just pray, Father, as we go from here, that, Father, that throughout the day that we don't forget.